This podcast is for entertainment purposes only and does not contain or replace your own financial, tax, legal, or financial product advice.
Hello, Australia. It's Glenn James here. We're doing a My Millennial Story and I'm joined by Emma today. Hi, Emma. How are you?
Hi, Glenn. I'm well, thanks.
Hey, thanks for being part of the M3 community. You've been a part of the community for, I think, around a year. So It's great that you're still involved and you're not disappointed or upset with us yet. So that's always a plus. So.
No, definitely not.
So for those who might not have heard a My Millennial Story episode before, we're going to start to do more of them because it's just always exciting to hear people's story. And we're just chatting with different people and hearing their story. And I want you to be encouraged by their story. I want you to learn from their story. I want you to be inspired. It's probably the same as encouraged, but whatever. So we'll just jump straight in, Emma. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, cool. So I am 27. I'm from Brisbane, Australia. I'm a strength and powerlifting coach. That's my job. And I'm also Aboriginal. And since last year, I'm a homeowner.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
That's awesome. So what was your childhood like growing up and I guess around growing up with your view on money? What was that like?
Well, I would say that I had a pretty good childhood. My parents have a mortgage. So, we say they're homeowners, but they have a mortgage. Yeah, I guess they just showed me that they worked and saved for things that they wanted. And I always knew that I wanted to own my own home at some stage as well. Being Indigenous, and I think what's really cool is that I've heard that coming up, you're wanting to sort of give a voice to more Aboriginal people on the podcast, which I think is awesome. And I think with money, it's really interesting with Aboriginal people because of the history of Australia and what sort of happened. And I think it's really cool to talk about because a lot of people might not have any idea. So, for example, my mum and I asked her, I told her I was going to do this interview and I asked her if she wouldn't mind if I tell some of her story. And she was actually, so my mum's only 56 and she was part of the stolen generation. So
wow.
So she was actually taken with her brothers and sisters away from her family and put into a home. And which is crazy for a lot of non-Indigenous people to hear because they see my mum and she's like this successful lady with, a full-time job and all that. And they're like, I can't believe that she was part of that. And it was not that long ago.
Yeah. Well, so it's funny, like, it's so hard to comprehend. Like, This isn't ancient history. This isn't, quote-unquote, modern history. This is actually the generation before. Like, this is...
Exactly, yeah.
Like, your mum's probably the top end of Gen X, the last baby boomer, like, right on the edge there. Like, this is current history. We are living in it still.
Yeah, exactly. So, I just thought that would be... that more people should know about that and that might be interesting to talk about. And so my mum, after she was in the home, she was, I would say, you could say fortunate enough to be placed with her grandmother. But then they grew up in housing commission and so they're renting and so they never had that security of owning their own home or of, you know, when my mum's grandmother actually passed away, she was only 18 and then they had to get out of the house. So, you know, when I spoke to mum, I said, Mum, what can I share? She said her biggest goal was to have that security to own her own home.
Mm.
And that's what she really worked towards was having that security and so that her family never had to worry about not being able to pay the rent or being kicked out or anything like that.
And that certainty of your life. Isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, wow. That's just, it's just so hard to comprehend that could happen to someone in their 50s. Like,
I know, yeah.
Like, not that she was in the 50s at the time, but they're like, no, it's not this textbook thing that we learn in primary school.
It's
so current. That's awesome. So are your grandparents still around?
No, unfortunately. So they passed away and so I never met them. There is that, that's what they talk about. There's that disconnect, I guess, with culture and with family, and there's that, it gets passed down through generations. So that's why, one of the reasons why a lot of Indigenous people might not own homes, because that's never been a thing in their family. So my mum, having her mortgage now, she's the first generation in her family to actually own her own home and have a mortgage. So I'm only the second. So
yeah, and it's just, and the reason I ask, because it's like your grandparents would just be so proud of you and like of you, on your mum. And
yeah,
it's funny, like somebody listening might go, oh, I've never had a credit card because my parents never had a credit card. Like,
yep,
that's cute, but people that you probably know and people listening, their parents may have never had a home because their parents never had a home. So it's just,
yeah, exactly.
It's like, yep, just, it's so wild. Do you know much about your heritage in terms of the regions of Australia?
Yes, sort of. So I am from the Warramunga people, which is from in the Northern Territory. But again, because of that, because of the stolen generation and the disconnect and that sort of thing, it's really sad. It's like I don't really feel connected to them because I grew up in Brisbane.
Mm.
So, I feel connected to Brisbane and the people here, but I don't have that connection.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Yeah.
I'm on the Central Coast in Blue Bay, and this is Darkinjung country, and there's people that are listening on the Central Coast. And the one thing I love about the Central Coast, a lot of our suburbs are Indigenous names. So it's
awesome.
Yeah. It's cool how they've done that. Now, I guess if we fast forward a little bit, when you were a child, what, like, did you have dreams of wanting to do something when you're older, and are you doing it now?
Yeah, so I just had different things that I wanted to do. At one point I wanted to be a journalist, and then when I got into high school, I was interested in the human body, I guess, and learning about that sort of thing. And I was interested in making money. So I initially,
the sixth
I wanted
love
to be,
language.
Yeah. So initially I wanted to be a doctor, and I actually went to uni and studied medicine for a year. I did 2 years of health science and then I did a year of medicine, and it was really tough, obviously. And, but at the time I was also doing personal training part-time. And I always enjoyed the personal training more and helping people. I feel like with medicine, even though it's obviously so important that we have doctors and they do amazing work, but I feel like it's more, it's always fixing. It's always like, not all, but some of it is prescribing drugs and that type of thing, whereas personal training and looking at health and nutrition is more preventative. So it's like stopping people from getting to that stage.
Yeah. And I mean, it's just a fact that you've got less chance of getting diabetes if you're not overweight. Like, that's just a fact.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, so I just, and just for my own, I just prefer training people. I love meeting new people and all different ages as well. And just for my own lifestyle as well, like, medicine is very hectic and just not the road that I wanted to go down. So now I'm a strength coach and I competed in powerlifting as well. And yeah, that's just where my life has sort of led. And where I am now. Yeah.
So we're taught at the time of this recording, it's 3:30 PM. You don't, and I can hear the birds in the background.
Yes.
Is that a currawong maybe? I'm not sure. are you self-employed or are you employed by a gym? How does that work? Because it seems like you've got a flexible schedule.
Yeah, exactly. So that's one thing that's really important to me and my partner. So I train people out of a studio, which is actually, I started off at a gym, just like a Jets gym, and built my client base. and then decided that I wanted to do it on my own. And I actually set up a studio out of my parents' backyard, which super fortunate enough to do. So that's called the Strength Circle. So I still train people out of there. And then my partner, he owns a gym as well. And so I also train people out of that gym. So, I've sort of built my business in a way that, I'm flexible. As you said, it's 3:30 in the afternoon on a Friday and I have this time off, which is great. And
Now, how do you, I'll first ask you, would you classify yourself as a spender or a saver by nature?
I'm definitely a saver.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And what about your partner?
He's a saver too.
Wow. That's cool.
I think so. It depends what we're, so at the moment, it's funny, we've been in our house for a year and we are renovating and kind of working on the garden and that type of thing. We're really into, I really want to be self-sufficient to a point one day with growing food in our garden and that sort of thing. So we're savers, but if it's for the house or for renovating, we're happy to spend money on that.
Yeah, but also like I think that speaks like, you know, if you're renovating, well, it's kind of an investment. You'll never really lose that capital. If you said being more sustainable and you're growing stuff and you're making gardens, well, that's an investment because it's one into your health because you'd be growing healthy stuff out of the earth and then you might not need to spend as much at the supermarket. Now, do you have any debt other than the mortgage?
No, I've got, so because I did do the uni, I've got a hex debt.
Yeah.
So that's there in the background and I'm just slowly paying the minimum on that.
Yeah.
But no, I don't have any other debt. I bought my car 5 years ago and I've just been, then I was just saving for my house from then on.
Now, what are your, I guess with you and your partner, how do you both manage your money on a day in, day out type basis?
Yeah. So I have sort of an everyday account where money comes in and because it's mainly for me, it's just clients sending me money or giving me cash. So I don't have like a payday. So I have set up sort of, I wrote it down. I've sort of got a bills account, a tax account, a savings account that we share, and a little holiday account. And so at the end of the week, that's when it's all, everyone's transferred me their money. That's when I sort of send money off to those separate accounts. And that's when my mortgage comes out as well. And then basically whatever I have left over, that's what I spend for the week, basically. Yeah.
And I think it's like, there's no right system. There's only a right system that works for the person, right? And your behaviors. So you've got a system and it's your system. So no, that's really cool. Now, how long have you been with your partner?
3 years, but we've been living together for just over a year.
Sweet. And the current home you live in, did you buy it 50-50? Was that this thing or is it in one person's name?
It's in my name. So I bought it and then he moved in and it's as if it's both of ours. We sort of, save together and do that sort of thing. So, yeah.
So if I was to ask you what your current financial goal is, like is there, you've said you've got a holiday account, but is there something else that you've both discussed to say, hey, we want to aim for this? Where is it in the goals?
Because as I said, my strength, my little studio gym is at my parents' house. And so I'd really love to have a similar setup at home, as well as we have the gym as well, but a little private PT studio at home. So that's kind of what we're working towards now. And just renovating the house. So that's probably my short-term goal. But then thinking longer term, I just want to have myself set up in a way that because both of us being self-employed, I want to feel comfortable that like if we want to start a family one day, I am not going to just be, stuck. Like I'll be able to do that and be flexible and have money to lean on. And I really liked actually the how to manage your money in your 30s because I'm 27. So it's not like I'm not in my 30s yet, but it was really good to listen to that and be like, okay, so, you know, what will we be doing? You know, how can I have enough income so that if I do need to take time off, that will be okay. And it's just good to think about, I think.
So if I was to ask you, what do you think the best thing is that you've ever done? Or if that's kind of too hard, what do you think the best thing is that you've ever purchased for yourself?
The house definitely for me is something that I'm really proud of. But I guess just being, moving forward, like being confident that, because some people think that they'll never be able to buy a house. They think it's just so far out of reach. And I don't have a huge income. That's what, something that I wanted to point out to people. Like I'm self-employed. I've sort of built my way up. And I think like no goal to an extent is too big. So I think like the house has proven to me that, yeah, like if I want to, I can see myself maybe having an investment house 10 years down the track or something like that. And it's not so far-fetched. Whereas for someone like my mom, her biggest thing was like getting the house and being secure, and then that was kind of it. And it's not until now that she's like, oh, well, maybe I could do more.
Yeah. And do you think there's, you have a kind of like, I don't like to say like biggest money mistake, but kind of the biggest money thing that you've learned from? Because we all do dumb stuff with money. Like, is there one that stands out for you?
Yes. So when I thought about this, I thought, and this will be a good lesson for any young self-employed people, is to get on top of your tax.
Yes.
Because when I first started, especially because personal training is like cash in hand, and I was like, sweet, getting all this money and didn't even think about tax for a few years. And then when I really ramped up my savings and thought I really want to buy a house, I'm like, well, I've got to prove my income. How am I going to do that if I haven't paid my tax and all of this stuff? So that was a big kick in the teeth at that time because I had to pay like 3 years worth of tax altogether. But I've learned my lesson and now I'm on top of all that. And yeah, so that would be probably my biggest mistake, but a good learning at the same time.
Yeah, I think I had a similar situation when I first started my business, like my first kind of self-employed tax return. And it wasn't a return, it was a bill. But
yeah,
I didn't earn that much money. And when you don't have any money, it may as well be $200,000 because you still don't have it. And I remember it was like $5,000. And I was like, where am I going to get $5,000 from? Like,
yeah,
sure. It may as well be 200 grand because I just don't have it. Like, it was just this.
Yeah. And I was like, what is the point of working if it's just going to be taken away from me? But now that I'm on top of it, it's a lot easier and a lot more manageable.
Totally. Love it. Now, if your best friend came to you and said, hey, Emma, I need some money advice, what would the number one thing tell them? What would you tell them?
Okay, I would say you need to set a goal because that makes it so much easier to work towards something. Because if you don't have a goal in mind, you know, it's easy to slip up and spend money on little things here and there. And then one thing I would say is reduce, like keep your expenses as low as you can, especially if you don't earn a lot of money, because I think people waste, like a lot of my friends like kind of waste a lot of money on, it might be like a phone contract or just like little things that all add up. So, yeah, I think keep that low so that it's easier to save.
Yeah.
And then easier to have something aside.
So, moving on now, do you have any, I guess, particular charities that have a personal interest to you?
Yeah, this is a cool question because in the past 2 years, me and a couple of people from my gym have started this little day, I guess, which we raise money for mental health awareness. So Livin' is the charity you may have heard of, and their motto is "It ain't weak to speak." So they're trying to break the stigma around mental illness. So as part of our gym community, we created this day called Liftin' for Livin', where we have like a bunch of us, we get all the strongest people we know together, and we have like a deadlift competition basically, and we raise money for the charity. And it's the most fun day ever because it's like, it's fun to watch people lift really heavy, but at the same time, it's such a nice community feel. And then because it is going towards that charity, it's like, you know, I hope all of my community in the gym know that if they are going through something, that it ain't weak to speak and they can talk to me and they can talk to the other people in the gym. So yeah, that's always a really fun day. So we do that in November once a year.
That's awesome. And for the people that lift who are listening, you know, talking lift talk, like how much, I've got no idea. Like how much do you deadlift at a time? Or is that what you're doing? Or like,
I knew this question was coming.
And I didn't think about it until just then. So
that's funny. Okay. Well, my best deadlift is 172.5 kilos. And so that's my deadlift is my favorite.
Yeah.
And then in powerlifting, we do squat and bench press as well. But wow, deadlift's the best.
So because I'm overweight and I'm a lazy POS that needs to get in control of his life, I just went to the doctors, I was telling you before, mm-hmm. and I had to jump on the scales and it said like 96 kilos. So if I laid on the floor, you could pick me up.
Yeah. Yeah. It'd be a bit awkward, but yeah.
That's very intimidating.
You might be a bit too long. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm probably short. Not balanced right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, if you had 10 grand drop into your lap tomorrow, like what would you do with it?
When I thought about this question, I was like, okay, what would Glenn James want me to say? Like, but because the renovations of the house and the studio are kind of on the forefront of my mind right now, I would probably put a fair chunk into that and then put some aside for investing in shares. I've just started probably 12 months ago, actually, with a little raise account. So I've started with that and then I want to kind of build that up and get that to a point where I can invest in actual shares. So I'd probably put a little bit in that and then have some for a holiday, like a little holiday.
Yeah. Where would you go?
Queensland, like, holiday.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's not going anywhere. It's funny, my friend, he's got his 40th because he's a bit old. I'm like the youngest in my circle of friends and we're trying to organize his 40th. And I said, oh, let's just like, we'll fly up to Cairns. I'll organize it. Like, and then I'm like, nah, we're keeping New South Wales because if we do something and then the planes stop. So where would you want to go if you could leave Queensland at the moment for a holiday anywhere in the world?
Oh, if I could leave. Actually, that's such a good question because I haven't even thought of that because I'm like, okay, we're stuck in Queensland for now.
Yeah, and probably stuck in Australia for a year.
Yeah, yeah. I really want to go to Thailand. My latest activity is I've started doing Thai boxing, which has been really fun. And I'd love to go over and have kind of like a training holiday and see Thailand and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I've got a few friends that have done the training holidays.
Yeah.
And I mean, they love it. I personally couldn't think of anything worse, but
no. I think if I went with a few friends, it would be great.
Well, and I think it'd be actually like, I get it. Like, you know, you go do like a 3 or 4 day camp, training camp, and then just sit on the beach and have fun.
Exactly. Eat food, sit on the beach, and then go back to training.
Yeah, totally. Now, in finishing up, last question. And I'm going to kind of say this to everyone that we do an MMS for. If you just wanted to say something random, it doesn't have to be money related. It doesn't have to be like, you know, Save the Whales Foundation or whatever. Like, it can be whatever you want. If you want to use this, this is your stage. This is your platform to the M3 community. What's something you're going to say to us? It can be anything.
Okay. Well, I think given I have this opportunity and we've been talking about you know, the history of what it means to be an Aboriginal person in Australia. And I just think, like, firstly, thank you for giving me the voice today to come and chat with you. And I just want to let other people know that they can do it as well. And just like, as you always say, like, stay encouraged and be patient, but it's nothing's off limits.
Mm, yeah. It's such a good, a healthy mindset, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because I think some of the most popular episodes we've had is around mindset. And
yeah,
realistically, you don't need any money to change that. You might need to remove you some toxic environments if possible. But yeah, I think, that's really good. Well, thank you so much, Emma. Can you text me your postal address and I'll get you a tote bag? And
yay,
also, I'm going to give you, have you seen me talk about this book? I'm just leaning over here. Have you seen me talk about this book, Made to Stick?
Oh, no.
I'm going to put this in the post with the tote bag, and it's really good for small business owners.
Thank you.
And it's just all about marketing and, like, when you do, you might start to do some more online training stuff. So, yeah, I'll pop it in the post with the tote bag, and it's...
That's awesome. Yeah,
it's a banger. So, thanks so much for being on M3.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
If you're after personal financial advice, this podcast is not for you. But if you do want a financial advisor or mortgage broker to talk with about your own personal situation, head over to sortyourmoneyout.com, click Get Help, and we'll put you in touch with one of our trusted professionals.
This podcast supports A21, a charity focused on abolishing slavery and human trafficking all over the world. Check out a21.org.au for more info. If you want some other giving options, or if you are unsure about which charity you can support, head to thelifeyoucansave.org.au.
Thanks to Jess Knaus, producer, Nathan Robertson, editor, and me, Asher. Anyway, make sure you're connected via Instagram and our free Facebook group. We also film most of our content now, so check out My Millennial Money on YouTube.